So, how are we all doing this morning? So today, we always honor and worship the King, but today is a special day in the annual calendar where we worship, honor. There we go. Besides Chris. We honor our moms. I trust you all honored your mothers this morning in some way or form. And so this morning I just thought, instead of hearing my voice again, we're not going to hear one, but we're going to hear four different voices this morning. So we're excited to listen to, what's your name? Trish? Trish, Susan, Janine, and Bridget. Just testing, just to see what happens when I don't stand up to preach. I lose it. And so what they're going to talk to us through is talking to us through motherhood throughout times and seasons in their lives, because they're at different stages of that in their own lives. But a thought came to me about, if you, especially to the teenagers, because the littlies, they just like to sit on mommy's lap, but the teenagers and the husbands and the brothers and that, if you think that your mother's just your mother, let me help you a little bit this morning. Your mother or mothers, they're the chef, they're the nurse, they're the doctor, they're the chauffeur, they're the nutritionalist, they're the wardrobe consultant, they're the referee, they're the concierge, the gardener, the entertainer, the personal trainer, the counselor, the accountant, the financial advisor, the disaster relief worker. They are the ATM, they are the hairstylist and confidant. And that is mother. And those are the mothers are. And I saw a little character where some of you saw it. There's two kids standing and there's in front of them on the front of the lawn, and they've got all these types of people standing there. And they said, Mom, we hired a few people so you could have a day off. And that's who our mothers are. And so we honor the moms today. I honor each one of you, but otherwise I'm going to take all the time. So Father, we pray for these ladies who are going to speak, and Lord God, that they would speak with your authority, Jesus. We lift them up before you, and in Jesus' name. Come, Trish, I do remember your name. I'm Peter.
Wow, this is what it's like to be out of the nursing mom's room. I feel alive and welcome back after 5 years of being out of that place. So I'm not just Amelia's mom, Olivia's mom, Zara's mom, Kevin's wife. I have a name. And it is Trish. Just in case, I've been hiding in there and I've been sneaking in and out just so that I can have maybe my 8 minutes and get back to my little cubby. So, I count this such a privilege to be able to have a few minutes to speak and share of what it's like to be a mom to three beautiful small girls. And, this is a time where I feel like it's an opportunity for me to be real with you. And it's not an easy journey being a mom, right? No matter what stage you're at, no matter how old your kids are, it's not an easy journey. And today I'm going to share a little bit about, I'm going to be raw with you, I'm going to be real with you, and welcome you into our home. So if you have little girls or little boys, I'm sure this morning you had lots of excitement in the house. Your kids have been working on precious little gifts for you that they've made at school. They've, have cards and they're so excited. Friday they're like, don't look in my backpack. Don't look in my backpack. Don't look in my backpack. There's something in there for you. Don't look in my backpack. Right? And there's just so much excitement. And so, if you have small kids this morning, you'll probably agree with some homemade gift. And I know no matter what age you are, those are the gifts that mean more than anything. Those are gifts that you can't put money on. And those are the gifts that we will treasure for the rest of our lives. So those small moments, and Olivia said to me, Mom, I'm sorry, this is all I have for you. And I just felt like This is all a mom could ever want, are these precious little handwritten notes with awkward spelling, you know, made with love, and it was beautiful. You know, for us being parents, we feel really blessed. Our journey having kids was not an easy one, and we feel that each one of our kids came at the right season and the right time. But the one thing I realized is that, you know, when you bring home your first child, you're overly protected. You're reading every guidebook. You're thinking, okay, they're supposed to, at 3 o'clock, supposed to do this. And at 2 o'clock, they're supposed to do this. I'm supposed to feed them to do this. And you're following what you think you know best. But I was terrified when I brought Olivia home. I would watch her in her crib. I'd watch her eat. I'd watch her sleep. And I wasn't able to rest. And I felt one night that the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, Olivia is not yours. She is mine. I've entrusted you to raise this child and your husband to raise this child. So I'm actually just kind of lending her to you, and you're responsible for pouring into her and everything that I am into her life. And that's your job, right? And I thought, great. I had 9 months of long pain and a whole bunch of stories, but I won't go there. And now you're telling me she's not mine. And I had to trust the Lord that she, you know, that he gave her to us and that he knows better than us. So I remember from that moment on, I was terrified to let her sleep in her crib because, you know, you think something's going to happen and you're the first time mom and you're watching every moment. And one night the Lord gave me a beautiful picture of wings covering her crib. And he said, I have every day planned for this child, and I will continue to protect her and to guide her. And from that day on, I left her in her crib. Man, I was a whole new woman. I slept. Kevin was probably happy that I was happy. Happy wife, happy life, right? But it took the pressure off that I didn't have to be it. Right? That the Lord was guiding me as I was raising her. So, you know, life with small children is unpredictable. It's messy. It's exhausting. Right? But we would have it no other way. There's days where you think, man, I just like to bottle this and savor this day and this moment forever. And there's other days when you're like, oh my gosh, it's 8:30 in the morning. Can it be 9 o'clock? Right? And it's real. You know, Kev comes home from work some days and I'm still the same way that he saw me at 7 when he left in the morning. And it's like, here. I just actually want to go pee without somebody following me. Yeah. I'm talking about you. Okay? But you know, those of you who know me know that I'm pretty anal and I'm pretty schedule and oriented, and my house has to be a certain way. My cooking has to be a certain way. Everything has to be, I'm pretty A-type to a T. But I felt that the Lord had to readjust my thinking. That I had to actually lose control to gain his control. So I had to actually surrender myself and enjoy the fact that, you know what, my carpet didn't have to have vacuum lines in it every day for me to be a great mom. That it was more important for me to play Lego or build blocks and to spend time with my kids than to have a perception that I have it all together. Okay? And daily, I'm learning, because three girls, there's lots of emotions in our house. Lots. But then I actually have to rely on him for the strength and grace to raise our children and that are pleasing to him. But I felt the Lord, I'm taking probably way too much long, and I practiced this at home with the teddy bears and Anna and Elsa and everyone. And I did stick to my 8 minutes at home, but I might be a few minutes longer. But I felt like the Lord had a couple things he wanted to point out and to actually, as I was preparing, this week was, you know, those mommy weeks where you're thinking, are you kidding me? You want me to speak on having small kids? Am I really qualified to speak? You know those days where you're like, oh my word. But I'm being real with you. I may look together, but I'm a hot mess. The one thing I realize is that there's no rule to parenting. There's not one size fits all. When I look at our girls, you know, Olivia is our bookworm. She's shy and loving and compassionate. I look at Zara. Well, God bless her husband. You know, the interesting piece about Zara is when she was born with a heart murmur. And we went and saw a cardiologist shortly after she was born. And he goes, you know, her heart murmur is called a musical heart murmur. And I'm telling you, that girl does not skip a beat. And we just think it's truly fits to who she is, right? But the word that I felt that the Lord has for you is that, ladies, we are more than just a mom, right? We may be wiping bums, brushing teeth, you know, keeping it all together, managing our homes, but we're more than just that. He has plans and He has purposes for our lives. And even though our dreams are hidden in our heart, they shouldn't stay there. He has stuff He wants us to do. Okay? A mother is, you know, we're called to raise, guide, and parent. But that doesn't mean it's puts limits on us and what He's called us to be. Okay? So there's times that we feel that we're never doing enough. Right? And I think that it's not our husbands who are putting those expectations on us. It's not anybody else. But as moms, we're the hardest critic on ourselves. I should be doing this. I should be doing this more. I should look at this. I should do this. Take those expectations off, because the only one who's putting those on is yourself. And when I look at that, I think of Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Man, this is my super mom power scripture, right? If you need to wear a cape that says super mom, man, you read that scripture. Because there's days when we function on only a couple hours sleep, if we're lucky. And you still got to rise up, and you still got to walk it out and smile and be courageous, right? So I would encourage you, you know, find ways to make your moments count with your little ones. Take time for you, whatever that looks like, outside of just going to the bathroom. When I tell Kevin I'm going to Shoppers Drug Mart, he knows that that means I'm going for a while. I don't even like Shoppers Drug Mart, but I walk up and down every aisle, I read every hand cream, I read every tinted moisturizer, then I smell every scent, you know, like, it's my time. The second thing that I think that I feel that the Lord really wanted was, don't let the joy of motherhood be robbed from you in the midst of it all, because you can. Your joy can be robbed in the midst of just truly being exhausted. And not knowing, you know, really you feel that you're not equipped to be their parents. So the enemy loves to try to steal your motherhood by this. He loves when you compare yourself. You know, well, look at that mom. Look what she's able to do. Oh, she's got her meal plan. And those children only eat organic. They never eat those chicken nuggets. Well, come to our house. Okay, I have a meal plan. I have it organized, but truth be told, it's not always like that. You do what you got to do to survive. Okay? The enemy loves when you see another child and compare your child. Right?
My kid started reading at 3.5. And, you know, they're writing poems and they're, you know, we love to compare our children. But guess what? It's impossible for any of us to be perfect. Right? So we can't put the expectation of our children being perfect in every fashion and every form if the only one that's perfect is the Lord. So how can we expect that our children to be perfect when we ourselves are not. Right? So we put expectations on them that are unrealistic. Okay? The enemy loves when you get on your phone and your iPad and ignore your kids. I'm at fault for that. Partially because I'm adult deprived and I just need to see what's out there. And Amelia is really exciting. You know, the enemy loves when you hide your dreams and your frustration. Okay, because time's going, I'm not going to go. The one thing that I know that when I'm in a hot mess of being a mom, and it happens more times than I would like to admit, and when exhaustion sits in, I have to often pause and I have to think, Jesus, what are you after in me? What are you after in me that I can rise up to be a better mom to my kids? And the beautiful thing is when I screw up, I get to try tomorrow all over again. And I'm the hardest critic on myself. If I'm sitting there, and there's many times I go to my kids and I apologize because I think that's a good example and good modeling to show them. Most of the time their answer is, why are you apologizing? I loved when you baked cookies with me today, or I liked when you did such and such with me today. But I've carried some of that stuff with me of how horrible I am, how, you know, I could be better. I should be doing it like so-and-so. I should be doing it like this. But I say, take the pressure off and trust that the Lord has ordered the steps for yourself as well as your children. You can't control what happens from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed every day. But you can entrust that the Lord knows. So surrender your kids back to the Lord. He's just entrusting you with them. So I encourage you today to take back your motherhood. It really is a gift, even though it's exhausting. You know, listen to the Lord as He is the life giver. You know, pray with your kids, for your kids, with them, and make it a priority. I know in our house, bedtime is 7 o'clock. But we don't function well at nighttime. Everyone is grumpy. So we do our devotions in the morning at the breakfast table. And, you know, we feel it when we don't do it. Our family and things get out of order, right? So make time. Make it a priority to share and talk about God's word with your kids. You know, foster and nurture them in the things of God. Ask the Lord to show you their giftings your children possess and foster and nurture them. You know, Olivia, from the time that she was probably Amelia's age, we went to a prophetic conference and somebody had prophesied that she would one day play the piano and write worship. And if you know our little Olivia, she's very painfully shy. She's intimidated. And we thought, how is that going to happen? You know, and yesterday she played in her first piano recital. And you know, when God puts something in your kids' hearts, it's our responsibility as parents to make sure that we pour into that. Because it's not about what we want them to do. It's what does the Lord have for them. You know, the Lord has something great for Olivia, for all of our kids. But what are we doing as parents to foster and nurture that? And it might go against the grain. You know, a lot of our friends, they might be their kids swimming and this and that. But what unique gifting does your kids have that's going to change this world? You know, kids church, I love kids church, man. When your kids come home on Sunday and they bring their little crafts and they bring whatever, you know, talk about it with them. It's not just another piece of paper to be hung on the fridge or something. Our teachers pour into those kids. So we try to talk to our kids about what they learned. We challenge them on what they've heard. Because we don't want them to be the type of kids to just accept the word for face value of whatever someone's saying to them, that you have to accept it. What do you think about that scripture? Let's talk about it. What do you think Jesus is saying? Not that we want them to be disrespectful and dishonoring to their teachers. That's not what I'm saying. But we want them to dive deeper, right? So we encourage you, or I encourage you, you know, talk with your kids about what they're doing in kids' church. Ask them. You know, we've had a really challenging week. And we ask our kids, you know, do you have a picture for mommy and daddy? Do you have a word for mommy and daddy? You know, we have to see that we're creating a kingdom culture. And before anything else, before setting the table, packing lunch bags, the things of God are the most important. So if you're to be hard on yourself in anything, it's, have I shown them what God has for them today? So Jesus has to be at the center of it all.
Thank you, Trish. Well done. Well, you can tell the difference in parenting here is age-wise. I have a 17-year-old and a 24-year-old. I did not get a cute little homemade thing today, just so you know. Just be prepared as they get older. That doesn't always happen, but I could identify with the control thing, so I don't know if that has to do with something else. But so I'm the mother of Jessica, 24, Jonathan, 17. And so I thought today I'm going to talk really fast because we have 8 minutes. And if you want to know what I said in slower form, email me. I'll send you my notes, just like usual. Okay, so 8 things I wanted to give you. 8 minutes. We've got 8 things, practical tips on mothering. 1, as Trish said from the beginning, pray. Pray, pray, pray. When we first found out I was pregnant, Michael and I began to say, we said, Lord, what do we need to pray for this child? And from then on, we've prayed. This thing he told us to pray for each one of our kids. Pray to their future. Pray to their present. Pray for their spouses. Pray, pray, pray for your children. So first thing, pray. Second thing, deal with your issues. As a mom, dads, you can listen in. Deal with your issues, okay? Because I've heard it said, we all have issues. We all have battles to face. If we do not face our battles, we leave them for our children to fight. They have their own. Do not leave your issues for your children to have to work through. Okay, deal with your issues. You're not sure? Caroline, raise your hand. She has a Connect group that helps you do that. Talk to her. There are many books, good stuff. Talk to me. We'll direct you. But please, please, deal with your issues. 1, pray. 2, deal with your issues. 3, listen. And don't just listen to their words. Listen to their heart. What is their heart saying? Jesus is always about the heart. Listen beyond the word. Take time. Stop. I would challenge you, 10 minutes a day. That's not a lot. 10 minutes a day. I know you're going to hold me to this now. 10 minutes a day. Sit down. Look at them. Don't be looking at something else while you're talking to them. Look at them. Engage them. How was your day? What's going on inside today? How you feeling? Listen to what they tell you. Because when you do that, you're saying, you are important. You have value. You have worth. Listen to them. And if you're not sure how, ask Holy Spirit. When they tell you stuff and you're not sure what to make of it, go back and say, gee, Holy Spirit, what's behind that? He'll tell you because he's intimately invested in them and in you. 1, pray. 2, deal with your issues. 3, listen. 4, communicate. So don't just listen, but talk. And don't talk at your children. Share your heart with them. And really important, model, as Trish said, model good, healthy communication. Let's get rid of dysfunction, okay? It is healthy to communicate. In your communication, you will have conflict. That's okay. But let's do conflict with honor. Let's not do conflict ugly. Okay, we are going to have conflict. If you love people and you're dealing with people, if there are people, there's conflict. It's okay. But let's do it with honor. Never use words that tear down, humiliate, embarrass, diminish. You can have heated conversations, intense conversations, and not use those kind of words. Okay, but even more important than doing communication this way, model for them communication this way. They must know that they have a God who will speak to them. There is a God who they can talk to. When they are in trouble, they don't need to go to their friend whose frontal lobe isn't yet developed when they're a teenager. They want to go to someone who has a frontal lobe that's developed. So just teenagers, don't go to anyone under 25 for advice. Their frontal lobe is not yet developed. So go to an older person, but even more importantly, go to God. He will tell you the right thing every single time. He will tell you the best thing. So one, pray. Two, deal with your issues. Three, listen. Four, communicate. Five, as Trish said, I cannot stress enough, teach them the word of God, because you will not be with them 24/7. God will. His word will. They come into a situation. Mom's not there. Someone who's over 25 isn't there. What are they going to do? Well, if you've taught them the word of God, you know what God does? He's amazing. He takes his hand. He reaches into their heart. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. He pulls it up into their mind and they get, oh yes, God said. But if they never hear the word of God, if they never read the word of God, how can he reach into them? Yes, he can protect them supernaturally. Yes, he's God. But what's our responsibility? Are they seeing, and I don't want to be heavy on you this way, but are they seeing you read the word? Are they seeing you pray to God? Okay, because if I don't do it, it's the do as I say, not as I do, which makes me exactly a hypocrite. Okay, so we don't want to do that. And then what does that do to your children when they see you're a hypocrite when it comes to Jesus? Do you think it draws them closer to the Lord? No, right? They look at it and they go, the whole thing is just a load of not good stuff. So don't do that to them. So one, pray. Two, deal with your issues. Three, listen. Four, communicate. Five, teach the word of God. Six, be forgiving. Model God well in this area. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't say, he is faithful and just, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to lecture us first, then cleanse us, no, and forgive us. Do not do that to your children. My mother modeled this so well for me. She made it so easy for me to ask for forgiveness, because I would come, no matter what I had done. I didn't always do stuff. Sometimes it was my sister, but I took responsibility because our relationship was broken. I just had to have our relationship restored before I went to bed. So I would take responsibility. And I would say, Mom, would you forgive me for her? And she always, this was my mother's response every single time. And even when I did really awful stuff, which I did do awful stuff, okay, unless you think I was really a good kid. So when I did awful stuff, this was always her response, always. She would hug me. She was only about this big. She would hug me. And she would always say, oh, honey, it's okay. I know you didn't really mean it, right? Because we don't really mean it. When we're ugly, it's usually because there's a lot of pain going on. And if we understood what we were doing to the other person, we wouldn't do that. So when your kids come to you and they say, would you forgive me? Please, I implore you, do not lecture them. Do not go, well, do what God would do. Model to them what God is like. Because that's what Jesus does. He just takes us back right away. Yes, I forgive. As far as the east is from the west. And just something for free, which we do in our home. And you may think it's semantics. But we don't do I'm sorry. We do say I'm sorry for certain things. But when you've really done something, we have always trained them when they're little, you ask for forgiveness. Because when I say I'm sorry, it's still about me. This is just me. You don't have to take it as you. But when I say, will you forgive me? All of a sudden, I'm humbling myself before you. And interestingly enough, when our children were little, they could say, I'm sorry without anything. But whenever they would come to, will you forgive me? They would weep. And you would see that their heart was actually impacted. And it's always about the heart, guys, right? We want to make sure that it comes. Forgiveness doesn't come from the mouth. Or the forgive me doesn't come from the mouth. Forgive me needs to come from the heart. And we want to help our children learn how to do that. One, pray. Two, deal with your issues. Three, listen. Four, communicate. Five, teach the word of God. Six, be forgiving. Seven, value. We just heard someone speak about love. And they said, you know, love is used like, I love your shoes. Oh, wasn't that movie great? I love that movie. I love, love, love. Love has become a very cheap word. So instead, let's put the word value. And if you value your children, I challenge you, do three things with them. Accept them. Maybe you wanted a ballet dancer and you got a mathematician. Or maybe you wanted a doctor and you got a mechanic. Accept them. Value them. Say who you are. It was good enough for God. It's good enough for me. Right? Accept who they are, the way they are. Just accept them and let them know they're accepted. Two, Hold them accountable. We often hear the river. You want your river to run strong and free and well and powerful. It needs strong banks. If a river overflows the banks, it becomes messy. It does destruction. It can become stagnant and toxic. So you want to have accountability. You want to put banks in so your children know that there is accountability. And Jonathan actually said to me, "Mom, I don't mind it when you hold me accountable. But what I don't like is the way you do it sometimes." So when you do it, don't be harsh, don't be hard, do it with love, ask God for wisdom. So my kids, and listen to your kids, they teach me how to mother better. So accept them, hold them accountable, and then affirm them. Look for legitimate opportunities when they do things right, when they're doing things that are, you know, they show compassion. Affirm them. Okay, so we're going to pray. Deal with our issues. We're going to listen. We're going to communicate. We're going to teach the word of God. We're going to be forgiving. We're going to value our children. And then lastly, again, we're going to pray. Okay? Pray more. You've got to pray a lot when you have children. Five things I would have done differently. One, when it was easier and more efficient to do it my way, myself, I would have stepped back, slowed down, and let them do it, even if it got messy and wasn't done my way. Now, if you have younger children, and even not so younger children, learn from other people's mistakes. You don't have to go through it. You can take our word for it. It's better to let your kids do stuff their way and take longer, and you just join in with them, and let it be a mess. Let it be a mess. It's okay. Okay? So let it be a mess. Two, I would have been a bigger cheerleader. I'm sorry, my two. I would have been a bigger cheerleader for them. I have the most awesome, amazing children. I really do. When you look up here and you go, "Oh, look at that family. The Michael and Janine. They have the perfect children. They must be so wonderful. Oh, their lives must be so amazing in that house of theirs." Well, that's not quite it. But I do have incredible children. I really do have incredible children. This morning, John and I were fighting. Just to show you, Trish wants to be real. I'm like, "I can't believe this. I'm supposed to be speaking on being a mother, and here I am." Jonathan and I are like, "Arr." So I go up to him and I say, "Okay, look it. I'm supposed to speak today on being a mother, and I can't. I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Jonathan." And he hadn't done anything wrong. Too late now. And he hadn't done anything wrong, okay? It was just, you know, communication, all right? And I just said to him, "Honey, I'm supposed to be speaking to you on being a mother. I can't go up there if there's like between us. Like, we got to sort this." And so he shares with me what he's feeling. I said, "Okay, but we don't really have time to deal with all this right now. So can we just agree that I love you and you love me and we will sort through this?" And he's like, "Yes." Okay, so just a little snippet. In case you thought they prayed for me this morning, laid hands on me, and spoke words of encouragement over me. We were late, okay? It was like, no. All right, so anyways, I would have been a bigger cheerleader. Because of my issues, that's another preach. Because of my issues, you can do 10 things, 8 things really well. I'll notice the 2 things that could have been done better. And so rather than going, "Those 8 things were awesome, you guys," I would go, "That's really good, those 8. But you know what? These 2 things, this is how you could do them better." That's not being a cheerleader. So I would encourage you, I would have been a bigger cheerleader. And I would have focused more on who they are instead of who I felt they should be. I'm just being honest, okay? Again, my issues, right? It's like, oh, but they could have done it this way, or they could have, right? Don't do that to your children. Accept them for who they are. And I would have laughed more with them. Again, because of my issues and what I believed and everything, I would have laughed more. If you don't have laughter in your house, go to the Lord. I've started praying, "God, would you bring laughter into our home?" And it worked. Okay, it's working. And my kids are actually a lot of fun, and they're really funny, and they naturally have a lot of laughter in them. So you can see how it would be stretching for me. But I'm telling you, laugh in your house. Jesus had joy more than any other person who will ever be on this earth. Laugh with your family. Two, and I would have dealt, as you can tell, more ruthlessly with my issues. I wouldn't have given myself so much time to get through them. If you have issues, please talk to Carolyn. Most important thing to remember, we don't mother in our own strength. We mother with God. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. And so if you are like me, and like every other mother who has ever lived and who will ever live, have made mistakes, have hurt your children, have done things that you wish you hadn't, okay, don't despair. It says God is for us, God is for them. And if God is for us, Romans 8 tells us, who can stand against us? I want you to know that despite of our issues, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of what we do wrong, mothers, you can have children who are amazing, kind, compassionate, God-fearing, delightful to be with, fun, helping you to learn, do all those kind of things. You can have those children. And the reason I know that is because in spite of my mothering failures, I have two people up here who are living proof that you don't have to be a perfect mother to have great kids. And I just want to say I love you, Jessica, and I love you, Jonathan, and I really want to thank you for the grace you extend to me in my mothering, because I haven't done it well always, and yet they have been so gracious to me. And so pray for your kids. Remember, 8 things. Pray, deal with your issues, listen, communicate, teach them the word of God, be forgiving, value them, and then pray some more. They are worth it. It's the hardest job in the world. I seriously believe that. It's the most important job in the world. And it is the most rewarding job in the world, because everything you put into them, God will take and multiply it, and you will see it, the impact of it, generations down the line in heaven. Do not despair. Do not give up. As Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up. Mother, in spite of everything, continue to mother. Thank you.
So what have I got left to say, right? So I just thought, first of all, I'd like to thank Bridget for making me do this. although it is my two favorite topics, talking about my wonderful children and about the Lord. So I'm happy to do this. But I thought I would get, I have a bit of a slide thing to show our amazing children. I mean, Mark always uses a PowerPoint, so I thought I should have one. And many of you have not met, may have not have met my children. Our Chris keeps saying, our children, they're not just your children. So this is the first picture. This is my son, our son David, and our daughter-in-law Rachel. They are, they're married, they live in Calgary, so they're far away. And they are, he's my pride and joy. They went out there for a job opportunity when a number of years ago, David has his degree in Bachelor of Theology. He went out there to work in a local church, did that for a while. Now he's running a business. She's a nurse, so that's her and them, and they're beautiful. Then the next picture, this is my beautiful daughter Elizabeth, our beautiful daughter Elizabeth, and Kent. And they are engaged, and so we're planning a wedding. And they live in Ottawa. She went to University of Ottawa to go to school and got involved in church there, built a great circle of friends, is in leadership there, and has a job now with Natural Resources Canada, and now is marrying a young man from that area who also loves the Lord. And then this is Rachel. They are expecting our first grandchild. And that's our little grandbaby, which we don't know what it is, but it will be arriving on Friday by cesarean section, which is also my birthday, so best birthday present ever. And we've had a journey, because they've had miscarriages and fertility issues, and we are really rejoicing as a family, and we're trusting God for a healthy baby, healthy mom. And of course, excitement with Elizabeth is this fall we're getting married, and we went and shopped for her dress. She said yes to Kent and said yes to the dress. So that brings you up to date on them, right? So, you know, Bridget's idea had been that each of us would talk about being a mother at the different stages of our life, and I was thinking, really not sure where I'm going to go with this, right? You know, because how can you really measure successful mothering or parenting? Because as both of them have said, both Janine and Trish, every child's unique, and everyone is different. And there's no magic formula. You know, there's no great words of wisdom that I could give you. We can share our experiences, but mostly we all disagree about what the perfect child looks like or what perfect parenting is. I saw a cartoon a few years ago that had a picture of two moms in it holding toddlers, and they were talking to each other, and above them was one of those thought cloud bubbles, and they were each thinking, I really like her, but I can't stand the way she's raising her kids. And it's really sort of typical of how we all are, right? We you know, and maybe that's a good thing, because without any training or experience, we start on this road of parenting. We have more training to learn how to drive our car than to be a parent, right? But maybe it's a good thing we have enough pride or arrogance or confidence to go ahead, or if we really knew all of the things that it did, maybe we wouldn't even try. So, you know, I could, you know, what the ladies have shared is a lot of what's on my heart. I really believe that you can't successfully parent without knowing God, without walking with Him. You know, I mean, there's a lot of great kids out in the world, like great families, and you can get there, but it's an easier road with the Lord. And you can only do the best that you can every single day with the information and knowledge and faith that you have at the time, and then just trust God for the rest. I mean, I think that's our whole walk with Christ, with the Lord. It's like the Lord's Prayer, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You need to ask the Lord daily, what do I need today for this situation? I'd be lying to you if I told you that we did everything right as parents. We made lots of mistakes, although our kids are perfect, right? But I was told I had to say that, right? But by the kid that phoned me this morning to pray with me before we came. But, you know, I am telling you the truth when I say that we did everything in love, agonizing in prayer, and seeking God about everything that we did. And there are times that God stepped in and dropped things into our heart in dealing with our kids that was the perfect answer at the time, that the wisdom didn't come from us. I think we get into trouble as parents when we forget the real goal of parenting. It isn't to create a perfect replica of yourselves, because trust me, I wouldn't want a perfect replica of me, or to fulfill our own dreams or ambitions, or to give them even whatever we thought was missing from our own childhood, you know, and rectify mistakes we thought our own parents made. The goal is to bring a son or daughter to maturity in Christ. You know, and so we need to align ourselves with God's purposes in our parenting. There are a lot of fantastic resources out there. Everybody's got a book on parenting, Christian and non-Christian, and all of your friends will happily give you their opinions on what you're doing right or wrong at every stage of your parenting, you know, and all of that. But the best thing that you can do is look to the Lord. Establish your own faith. I mean, there's a lot of great examples in the scripture of parents, right? But, you know, and Abraham and, you know, and everybody. But I really look at the scripture that says we are God's children, right? And so I think of God as our parent. How does He parent me? And what do I want to do with my kids? I mean, when you look at that as an example, the best thing you can do for your children is just love them, right? Love them as infants, love them as toddlers, love them as annoying teenagers, love them as adults when they move away and begin to build their own homes. You know, we can all put up with an awful lot if we know that we're loved. So I was thinking about all of this. You know, obviously our kids are at a different stage. You know, how do we parent now, right? How do you still become a parent and stay connected with your kids when your kids aren't living in your house with you anymore? You know, and it's a challenge. I think of us now as something like parenting now as being a form of Google. You know, we're more of, you know, our kids drop in and scan and search us for, you know, what do you think about this, Dad? What do you think about how I'm buying a house, you know, and what do you think? We're sort of a search engine. We're not really there on a day-to-day basis, you know. We're there when the kids need us, right? But we trust, you know, the kids, you can't, I've seen some of my friends that are my age or have kids my age, and they try to maintain a hold on your kids. But remember, we're trying to bring sons and daughters to maturity. So we have to you have to let them go. And they're going to make choices maybe that wouldn't be your choices, or do things that aren't your choice. But you trust the measure of God in them, the things that you've done over your life, the prayer. You cover them in prayer, and you trust that when an opportunity comes, you get to speak some wisdom. It's hard when they go through things like David and Rachel, when they're heartbreaking things, and some of you have gone through miscarriages and difficulty having children. I don't take having children for granted, you know. I mean, there's so many examples of how difficult it is for people to have kids. I take it as a gift from God, and it's really the one thing in my life that I know with absolute certainty I'm supposed to be a mother. We make lots of decisions in life. Do we buy the red car, the green car, the purple house, the yellow house? Do we have this career or that career? You know, do we go do this on Sunday? Which connect group do we go to? And you can think, did I make the right decisions, right, to do those choices? But I know I'm supposed to be a mother. And so I know I'm supposed to do that well. And so I look to the Lord, look to the scriptures for healthy examples. It is tough when they go through choices and things that are hard now. But we're there. I'm flying out on Thursday to be there when our grandchild is born to help, right? Rachel's mom is also going, and that's exciting. I'm here for my daughter and her wedding plans. We're here for all of these things, and they know we're here. They know we love them, and that's all that we can do, right? And I think the key thing that I would say is you really have to, I agree completely, you really have to get your own walk right with the Lord. Your kids see who you really are, and you can say a lot of stuff, but they will be who you really are. I have a couple of scriptures. I didn't think through how hard it would be to use my iPad while I was holding a microphone. But I read 1 John 3, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. So, and all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. So you think about that with your kids. If you don't keep yourself pure as he is pure and lean in so that we can be like him, will our kids look at us and not see him, but see something else that we don't want them to follow? My only real fear as a parent is that my kids will be like me. You know, like that they'll make the, you know, and that's the thing that we look at sometimes when we would see our kids when they were small doing something, and I think, oh, that's what I do. That's how I respond when I'm in a new situation. That's the shyness or whatever, right? And I really trust God to show those things in me so that they can be dealt and give them opportunities to go beyond, to demonstrate love for them and love for each other and in our married life. And really, 1 Corinthians 13 was the other thing I read, and I thought of this as a scripture on how to parent, you know? You could have languages and prophecy, but if you don't love your children, it's nothing, right? A parent's love is patient and kind. A parent's love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. A parent's love doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. I think one of the worst things I hear sometimes with parents is, you always do that. And it's like you're cursing your children when you say that. I hate that expression. So I love that about love. Loving as a parent keeps no record of being wrong, of mistakes. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstances. And that's what I have for you today. Thanks.
Wow. Should I just sit down? Or I can do a PowerPoint. PowerPoint. There's my PowerPoint sitting over there. My boomerang, darling. Okay, so hi, everyone. This is for all the moms out there, and we all mother at some stage and at some age. My nickname's Mom, but my real name is Mom. Mom! 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 You know, we're a million caps as moms, okay? So let me just preempt this with saying that we all mother at some stage, and no matter the age, no matter our family status, because we can all get to mother wherever the Lord places us. So young ladies, I'm including you in this. If there are any young ladies here, listen up, okay? The little ones in the classrooms out there, or in the classrooms at school or the classrooms at university, the younger ones are looking to the older ones to see who they might be, how they're behaving, who they're going to be like when they grow up. Every one of us has to model something to somebody, and that, I've taken it more generally today because you know my PowerPoint sitting over there. Okay, I'm addressing every lady here, every young woman here, because we all get to mother at some stage with somebody. Okay, we have great grandmothers here today. We have grandmothers, we have mothers with us. But as the privilege of being born girls, wherever we are, there's always someone, our own, someone else's, looking to be nurtured and loved and accepted and encouraged. Our responsibility is to be the very best example as a woman and a hopeful mother that we can be. Okay. Henry Blackaby, in one of his books, asks this very pertinent question. He says, what wake are you leaving? What wake are you leaving? What legacy? We've just looked at Abigail in our Connect group, okay, when we're doing women in the Bible, and one of our ladies said she, Abigail, was dependable, and it made her think, am I like that? Do people come to me because I'm dependable? Do people want to come to me for counsel? Do they want to look for wisdom? Do they see wisdom in me to come to? Okay, that I found very sobering. Very sobering. Word tells us to be sober about ourselves. So I found that really sobering. Another question that I have for us. What kind of woman are you? What kind of woman am I? What kind of women are we together? All right? Let's be women that other women can trust. Successful women have loyal tribes of loyal and honest women behind them, following them. So let's be women who can lift and inspire other women. That's a place that we can take. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Ephesians 4, 15 says, we will speak the truth in love to others, okay? Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is head of his body, the church. So then I looked at what Paul spoke to Timothy about being bold with his gifts in 2 Timothy 1. I'm going to read the scripture because it's pertinent. He says, I, Paul, am on a special assignment for Christ, carrying out God's plan laid out in the message of life by Jesus. I write this to you, Timothy, the son I love so much. All the best from our God and Christ be yours. Every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, okay, mums, we're praying for our children all the time, I thank God for you. The God I worship with my whole life in the tradition of my ancestors. And then Paul says, I miss you a lot, especially when I remember that last tearful goodbye, and I look forward to a joy-packed reunion. That precious memory triggers another, your honest faith, Timothy. And what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice and now to you. There's a wake, right? And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed. Keep that ablaze. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold and loving and sensible from the message. So, Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and Eunice's mother themselves obviously had a rich faith to hand down to Timothy, which was the godly foundation for Paul to lay hands on him and launch him into the ministry. It was the rich faith that propelled Timothy that Paul recognized, and the wake that Lois and Eunice were leaving had Timothy on his spiritual surfboard into his future. You see how it goes, the progression, right? Godly progression. So, would or could I or you, what happens if a Paul comes along? Could a Paul say that to our children? Andy Stanley says, your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Here's an illustration here. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her tiny baby in her arms, when she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. She never reached her destination, and when the blizzard had subsided, searchers found her body beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all her outer clothing and wrapped it around her baby. When they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found he was alive and well. She had mounted her body over his, and given her life for her child, proving the depths of her motherly love. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grown to manhood, became Prime Minister of Great Britain, and without doubt one of Britain's greatest statesmen. We don't know always the plans that God has for our children. Moses had two moms, Jochebed, his biological mom, and Pharaoh's daughter. This story always fascinates me. We can trust God, moms, in every circumstance with our children. His mother kept him for 3 months, we know, and trusted God as she placed him in that papyrus and pitch basket. Then God steered Pharaoh's daughter to bathe, see the basket, tell her personal attendant to retrieve it. The baby cries. She has compassion. But Miriam, Moses' older sister, is standing watch over the basket with her baby brother in it and offers to get a Hebrew mother to wean the child. Moses' own mom, and she gets paid for it. How's that? That's cute. And brings up her son. Guaranteed, she brings him up in an understanding of who their God is. And that's the spiritual grounding he gets before he's sent back to Pharaoh's daughter to be educated and brought up in the palace. All excellent training for him to rescue Israel later on. They chose, and we choose, to give our children life. They chose, and we choose, to give our children love. They chose to ground Moses in leadership that would secure him later in life. And then we let them go. We let them go, because if we've trained them well enough, they will continue in the things of God. They will do it well. I think our job is to actually train them in a way so that they, when they leave us, they can stand on their own. In God, of course. So, what are you speaking over your children? God's promises or your fears? Let's not position them for a normal life. Rather, let's position them for signs and wonders and miracles by speaking their God-given destiny over them. They are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Our words can either shrink them to live small lives or frame a world large enough for them to be heroes and heroines in. We get to choose with our words and our prayers. Yes, I have a boomerang child, one who's left home and after years and God telling her to, us asking but God telling her to, has come back for such a time as this. She's independent. She's just bought her own vacuum cleaner. I taught her well from the age of 7. But he told her for the big picture. I'm thrilled. So we have our easel ready for our beautiful daughter's life to see the promises that of the Lord unfold. Our God-given children are precious, darling moms. They are precious. He's given us individual strategies. We've heard that so much this morning. To be the mother he has designed us to be. No one size fits all. One of you said that. Beautiful. I'm not the same mom that you are. I'm not the same mom that you are, okay? But he's gifted you specifically for the child and children that he's given you, okay? Sit on his lap and hear his heartbeat for your children. So today, when our kids handed us Mother's Day cards that they've carefully picked on creatively and made, and I saw some of them last week being the start of them. You'll see them. They're beautiful. That tells us that we are their number one mom. And in our hearts, we might feel far from actually being that. But to them, we are. To them, we are. And we can make mistakes and ask their forgiveness, which I think is a really good thing. Thank you, Janine. But let's give thanks to God and let's know that they are seeing Jesus in us. That's who they need to see as much as we can display him. That they see the Lord in us. Because when our lives reflect him, there are no other better number one moms in the world like you. So I just want Louise to come and pray with us, pray for the moms here. If you came in and didn't get a bag, a little colorful bag, please see me at the back afterwards, because some of you may have come in a little bit later, but we have got a Mother's Day gift for you to take home for you. Sit in self-honor, okay?
Father, thank you so much for our moms, for the ladies that are here, Lord. We want to honor them and thank them for the prayers and the cheerleading and the hearts that they have to see their kids grow and love and be all that you've called us to be. And so would you just give them big hugs today and love on them, and would you meet their needs, Father? Would you answer their prayers? Would you hold them close and see the desires of their hearts and where they give, Father? Would you pour back into them? From the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, Father, would you strengthen them? Would you comfort them? Would you pour your peace into their hearts? Would you guard their hearts and their minds? Would you bless them today? Would you fill them, Lord? Would you show them how special they are? Show them how much they are loved and valued, not for everything that they do for us, but, Lord, for who they are. Would you lift their gaze to yours, Father? Would you speak your words of life and love and encouragement? We love them, Lord, and we're so thankful for them. In Jesus' name, amen.